Fellow Canadian, Jason Lanoue from the University of Guelph, looking at diurnal patterns of carbon export in tomato leaves exposed to wavelength-specific lighting.
Hi everyone, thanks for coming out. So as Brian said, my topic is going to focus on LEDs and carbon export. So what is carbon export? So we all know about photosynthesis and sugar production within leaves, but carbon export is the movement of these sugars out of leaves to support other growth, specifically in vascular plants where the leaf is not a product, such as lettuce. We're trying to improve tomato growth or fruit growth, and specifically I'm working with tomatoes. So once these sugars leave the leaf, they can go to vegetative support for new shoots or roots, or to support tomato fill, which is our ultimate goal. So that was a simplified version. This is what the pathway looks like within tomatoes. It's extremely complicated. There's multiple cell lines. We have transporters, enzymes, flow of carbon and water at the same time. So this is the pathway that I'm trying to tackle in my PhD. So why do we care about carbon export? Most people focus on just the photosynthetic side of it, but why do we care about carbon export? This is a typical picture of what high-wire tomato growth looks like. And as you can see, the light gradient within the tomato is fairly weak within the bottom of it. So we need to implement some type of lighting, specifically inner canopy lighting, to help support both photosynthesis and export. So currently, we use high-pressure sodium lights for above lighting, but they're not very useful for inner canopy lighting because they are so hot. So LEDs, like I just mentioned, are the new technology around, and we can make those into light bars to support inner canopy lighting. Now, this typically is thought to only support photosynthesis, but what we're doing is trying to see if we can break apart the photosynthetic and the export pathways to actually drive export with light and not just photosynthesis. So our objective of this study was to look at multiple different wavelengths and how they affected export using a radioisotope labeling method. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm only going to be focusing on the export from the leaf. We're not looking at the partitioning pattern right now. It was just a little bit too complicated for this study, and hopefully in the future we'll be looking at that. So we have a pretty basic growth parameter. These plants are grown in chambers under white light, and they're all basically sister plants. We haven't exposed them to wavelength-specific light at this point. We do something a little bit different. What we do before the experiment, the day before the experiment, we deplete the sugar levels. So we talked to Mark Stitt, and based on some of his research, we know that we can deplete the sugar levels by giving them about a four-hour increase in the dark period. Now, we did this because one of our assumptions is that we have to reach isotopic equilibrium between the C14 and the radioisotopes entering the leaf and leaving the leaf. So by doing this, we depleted the sugar levels enough, but we know that the photosynthetic capacity of the leaf is not altered in any way. Secondly, when these plants go from our white lights to our chambers, which I'll show you in a second, we prime them for 30 minutes under this white light. We did this because we learned that if we expose these plants going straight from darkness into a wavelength-specific light at a high level, as you'll see in some of our experiments, we go to a high level of light, the plants weren't waking up, is what we call it, or reaching their maximum photosynthetic level at the same time. So to take any of the bias away from, say, a plant waking up under a blue light or a plant waking up under a white light, we decided to wake these plants up completely under white light and then change and then put them into the chambers. So we worked at three preset photosynthetic levels, which I'll show you in a second, and because of this 30-minute prime and the 30 minutes I need to fumble around with these leaves getting them into the chambers, our photo period was decreased to a 15-hour, 8-hour photo period instead of the typical 16-8. So this is a image of our chambers. So on the right, we have our biochamber set up with four small chambers, as you can see in the picture on the left. They're completely insulated. Once they are sealed, there's no radiation leaks, which is extremely important. And they have a water circulating jacket to control temperature, also a glass top to allow light in. And then we worked with seven different lights. So we have our white light on the far left, which is our control, a red, blue, and red, white, which is kind of a commercial application, and then monochromatics of red, blue, green, and we have an orange light, which is really important. It's not looked at very often, but we decided to throw it in, and we did get some very, very interesting results from it. So to explain how we quantify export, this is a little schematic. So we have Geiger-Müller counters on all of these chambers, allowing us to measure and actually quantify the radiation within the leaf at any specific time. So this is an instantaneous measurement. What we do is we apply radioactive CO2 to our airstream. It goes into the leaf. The leaf assimilates whatever it wants. What it doesn't want to assimilate gets pushed through an erga, and then we can get the photosynthetic rate out of that erga. So as this leaf goes into the chamber for the whole day, the radiation is increasing, increasing, and increasing. Now, not all of that radiation stays within the leaf. Some of it is exported as radioactive sugars. Now, because of the way sugars are exported and the diameter of the petioles, we can't directly measure using a Geiger-Müller counter the radiation, but we can calculate it. So knowing the radiation we're putting into the system, the radiation we get in the leaf, and the photosynthetic level we capture from the erga, we're able to calculate export. So this is an example of one of my trials at a specific photosynthetic rate. As you can see on the top, we have photosynthesis or net carbon exchange because we also look at respiration. In the middle panels, we have the export rate as an absolute value, and the bottom, we have relative export rates. So how much of that photo assimilated carbon actually got exported. So what we see is that under all of these wavelengths, we can support photosynthesis and export, even with the orange light and the green light. Perfectly fine. There's no alterations in the patterns. And in the bottom three panels, if you can see it, it might be a little hard on this image, but on the far side, the red, blue, in the middle, the blue, and on the right, the orange light is giving us a higher relative export. So that means there's a slight disconnect between the photosynthetic capacity of these leaves under these lights and the export capacity of these leaves under these lights. So we didn't just do it at one photosynthetic level, we did it a lot. This is about 3,600 hours of data compiled into one graph, showing that the relationship and the correlation between photosynthesis and export is always high. So regardless of whether we're at a very high photosynthetic rate or a low photosynthetic rate, the export is basically matched. And we also determined that under each of these wavelengths, that relationship stayed true. Now, here is the three photosynthetic levels. So we have a low photosynthetic level around 4 micromoles, a medium is what we called it at about 7, and a high somewhere in the range of 11 to 12. It was kind of hard to get the high exactly because some of these lights have a hard time generating high enough light levels. As you can see on the top, as we increase the amount of photosynthesis, export also increases, but it doesn't increase at the same rate. So in the bottom panel, you can see that relative export actually decreases as we're increasing the photosynthetic rate. Now, interestingly, only during our middle photosynthetic level were we getting differences between the wavelengths. So at the middle photosynthetic level, our orange light, our blue light, and our red-blue light were increasing export unproportionally compared to the photosynthetic level in these tomato plants compared to our white light control. Now, it's important to remember these leaves were only exposed to 15 hours of this light. They were not grown under this light, so this is an instantaneous difference that we're getting, which is not showing up in the photosynthetic level. Also interesting to see, even though there was no statistical difference, our orange light is constantly producing the highest level of export, or relative export, excuse me. So what did we learn? Well, we know that carbon export is supported by all of these wavelengths. Nothing falls apart. This relationship stays true if we're giving it orange light, if we're giving it white light, if we're giving it red light. There's a high correlation, as I mentioned, and that under certain conditions, we can increase export based on the photosynthetic level, light quality that we're exposing these plants to. So what are some implications? Well, we always think of intercanopy lighting as driving photosynthesis, but maybe we can use it to drive export. After all, in tomatoes, we don't really care what the leaves look like. Our end product is trying to market the fruit, so if we can increase fruit fill, that's advantageous to us. And there is now a potential for new light recipes. This is just a Google search of intercanopy lighting. They're all a red-blue type. We showed that orange light is very good at exporting sugars. So maybe we need to redesign these lights, adding in some orange light, or even maybe taking away red light, since it was not shown to support export very well. And some future directions. We now are going to go towards long-term exposure. So in greenhouses, we're not exposing inner canopy leaves to light for only 15 hours. It's recurring every day. It's recurring for weeks sometimes, months perhaps. We also want to look at enzyme and transporter changes and alterations based on these lights. So as I showed you earlier, this is that pathway again, and we have multiple transporters we want to look at, some which are sucrose transporters, others which are called sweet transporters. There's triosphosphate translocators involved as well. And finally, we want to look at quantifying partitioning patterns. So right now, I'm only working at this level. I was just trying to see if we could get more export. Now I want to see if these lights are preferentially filling different parts of the plant. So is orange light creating more export, but it's only going towards more vegetative growth, or is it actually providing more fruit fill? And with that, I'd like to say thank you to my groups, Ag Canada, University of Guelph, and Lighting Science, who is our lighting company for this trial. I'll take any questions. So here's a little bit of an example. The peak was 595. It did have a little bit of yellow in it, as you can see in the bottom, but that's just because the orange is so narrow that it runs into the yellow. Eric?
Several years ago, we worked with an amber diode, 596 peak. Energy efficacy was about half that of a 660 red. Do you know what the efficacy was of your diode, and has that improved at all?
We don't. I can tell you it likely hasn't improved. We struggled to get very high light intensities out of it. In part of our trials and a couple other studies that we have, we're only able to push it to about 700 micromoles, about 5 inches from our light sensor. And a lot of the other LEDs from the exact same company in the exact same format, we were able to get about 1800. So it's still very inefficient. We are doing some work on it right now, and it's still proving to be very inefficient. We have had lighting companies tell us, though, that It's not a very hot light. It's not a hot commodity. But if it does become a hot commodity, they can improve that efficiency rapidly. Now, that might just be them telling us that, so we buy lights from them. But I've yet to see a company come to us with a light that's more efficient. But yes, there is still that problem. Mark?
Are you planning to look at how much of that orange light might be needed to get the benefits from it?
We are doing some trials right now with Agriculture Canada, not export trials per se, because we're not working in a concealed environment, so we are not allowed to use radiation. I'm working on a second method that where I can quantify without export or without radiation, but we are looking at it right now to see how much is advantageous and how much is too much. Go ahead. Right now, there are some literature saying that you can improve root growth with certain wavelengths. Others improve vegetative growth. Some expand leaves. Some increase hypocotyl length or stem length. So we're basically just going off that research. But what we're really looking to see is how much are we able to push to the fruit. That's our main selling point. So we see that we do get increases in export during short term. But can we at all increase that partitioning? If it's not going to the fruit, is it very viable for us to include orange light when it's not very efficient into a lighting strategy? Go ahead.
How can you separate the effect of orange is actually complicated from that of blue or red?
So we did this under monochromatic lighting. Our orange is a monochromatic, so we haven't yet added this to a light spectrum where there is orange and red. We are working on that right now, where we're adding in slowly different proportions of orange light to see with a red and a blue diode to see how it's going to interact. But for this preliminary trial, in all honesty, this was supposed to be a throwaway experiment. I was supposed to do this in my master's, see nothing, and move on. I didn't, and I'm doing a PhD now, so that's how it works. So yeah, this was just a very preliminary trial. This is what the lighting company was willing to make for us. So they weren't at the time, and we weren't at the time, sure of what different ratios of red to blue to orange that we should work with. So we decided to go with monochromatic lighting just to see how it would affect growth. And there's not very much literature on it for us to base our light recipes off of.
Thank you.